You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess, and with me, we have a returning guest, Christopher Baldwin from spacetrawler.com. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Fez. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. I remember back, I don't remember which episode it was, but I remember I had mentioned that I had met you at a convention that was basically in my state, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. And then I basically hit you up for an interview later about it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was talking about was, well, because your comic Space Trawler, which actually, well, let's do a refresher in case anybody might be new to this show and maybe not have heard the previous episode. So give us like a sort of an overview about what Space Trawler is.
Okay, Space Trawler is a comic I've been doing for almost 4 years now, and it's a sci-fi epic story comedy. It's got a story with a definitive beginning and ending, and there's also three sort of sub-stories, so it breaks up into three books, essentially. And I actually ended it in the beginning of September, but I did a Kickstarter, and one of the stretch goals was that I would do an additional short story. So I'm working on that, which lasts through the end of the year, which is just another little additional story with some of the characters from the cast.
Yeah, that's where I was trying to get at. You were, because when I had talked to you in person, you had mentioned basically you had a three-book plan, start to finish, and there was a particular reason why you really wanted to have to not just be this ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like doing new projects. I like exploring new things, and I was excited for it to end, even though I really love the universe I've created and really love the characters. And I actually, the Kickstarter goal, I set it kind of high because I figured no one's going, you know, they're just not going to reach that. So I don't even have to worry about it. But reached it, and that's great. That's been really, really helpful for me and financially. I'm happy to do an additional story. I read a lot of books, audiobooks while I'm drawing. And one of the genres I like is crime thrillers. And I like old noir films and such. And so I essentially, and I love Swedish crime dramas. I love Wallander, and I love, these Nordic dark little police stories. So I cobbled together a little story, and, probably the biggest influence would be the Maltese Falcon of all of them. Which is one of the things I like about the Maltese Falcon is like, everyone wants this thing, and suddenly it all comes on his head, and the cops are after him, and everyone—he's just in the hole with everyone, and he has to play them all until he can figure it out, or else his neck is on the line. I wrote a story like that, and it fit with some of the characters, and. But I tried to respect the fact that, the main character died in Space Trawler, which isn't a spoiler because I say it in like the first few strips.
I was actually kind of wondering if it was sort of like ambiguous. Is she really not going to die or whatever was going on? Or I was kind of holding out that there was like some other secret. It can't be that simple, can it?
Yeah, I'm a man of my word, Fez. I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to kill a man, that man's a dead man. You know, or a woman in this particular case.
Well, yeah. Book three of Space Trawler. I think I only bought book one and two from you because wherever I was, I probably didn't see your Kickstarter in time to get in on anything or something like that, but so I guess I was just gonna wait for you to come by at another convention and pick it up in person. But no, it was Because remember you talking about, because like you apparently have done like some research, you know, armchair research, you know, seen other web comics about where they're like story comics, where their strength tends to be. And you were basically said is like, you know, if you're going longer than 3 years, it's like you run the risk of, you know, like sort of like losing the height of a story comic mm-hmm. tends to be in like the first few years. And then it's sort of just mm-hmm. like almost like they're kind of obligated to keep going if they potentially didn't actually have a full story, or if you got decompression that happens. What is that called? Storytelling mm-hmm. decompression or whatever it is, where it just kind of goes on for a quite long time.
I don't know the term for it, but I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's really hard to get readers after a certain point, because webcomic readers often don't want to go back and read more than, you know, a couple years of a strip.
Right.
In the last year of the strip, my numbers didn't grow very much, which is what I sort of guessed. And so it seems a good time to start a new project.
Yeah, that's a great point. I started doing, I'm doing like a trial run of webcomic reviews on the Webcomic Beacon, well, the Webcast Beacon Network website. So I put mm-hmm. a call out there, and, you know, basically to remove any sort of the Minnesota nice left in me, you know, I said, don't submit unless you actually want to be reviewed. That way I won't feel bad if I say bad things about a comic. But, mm-hmm. you know, some of them are relatively newer. Some of them, you know, a lot of them are story chaptered or story comics. And, you know, I don't actually read the whole thing because for time. But I will go back and I'll read the first chapter and the latest chapter, because you can usually get a really decent sense about it. And part of the real thing is like, is the first chapter good enough to like really sort of get you into the story? And then you kind of look at the latest chapter and it's like, you kind of can see where things have come together. And it's like, sort of the test is like, is this interesting enough? Do I really want to see more of this? And it definitely does get harder the bigger the story is. So with now that you're sort of finished with like, you know, the three books story for Space Trawler, I mean, are you planning on sort of marketing it at any sort of way to like, hey, come back and you know, some other people to come check out this completed story? Or is it sort of just like done? I mean, is there no point in putting any more money into this for advertising? I'm not sure if you ever even done that yet.
Yeah, well, among web cartoonists, I'm one of the worst marketers probably out there. I mean, they haven't given me a crown or a medal for it yet, so I can't be sure of that fact. But, you know, I have my ads through Project Wonderful, and you know, and I do interviews, and I do Twitter, and I, you know, and I know people, and I do guest strips. That's a that's a good way to get your name out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's, I don't have any, I never have any plans. You know, Space Trawler is over. I don't know if I'll keep running ads or anything. I know with my comic Little D, once it was over, I started rerunning it with sort of director commentary, but I don't know if I'll do that with Space Trawler. I've been considering if I want to try to sell it as a PDF through Amazon, and maybe, you know, I've wondered if I should take down part of the archive so people actually have to purchase it in order to read it, or mm-hmm. I have some various ideas, but I probably won't do any of them. Focus on the next project.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's sort of like an interesting sort of thing. Is like, now that it's done, now what?
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. You know, it's something I talked about last time I was on the show, was that I used to do this one comic Bruno, and that's sort of what defined me. But like now, when I have conventions, go to conventions, people ask me about Bruno. They ask me about Little D. They ask me about Space Trawler. They ask me about Mad Magazine. I'm a writer and an illustrator for Mad Magazine for about 10 years now.
Oh, really?
And so, you know, and now I'm going to be doing a new project starting the first of the year, which we can talk about it in a bit. I don't have a name for it yet, but I'll be doing that. Rick, let's cutting it close. I'm writing two novels. I now have a deal with Penguin Dial Books for a graphic novel of my comic strip Little D, and so I'm writing the graphic novel. I'm right now I'm illustrating an educational newspaper serial story for a writer I've done work with in the past and who lives in New Hampshire, Mike Peterson. And yeah, so I rather than trying to really say, well, Space Crawler is my identity and I want to market it even when it's over, just keep instead I'm just like I'm just creating. I mean, I am in this industry because I love creating. I love story. I love drawing. And so I just focus on that. And the finances have slowly, you know, I've been doing this for whatever, about 20 years, and they're slowly sort of, you know, showing results. I quit my job 7 years or so ago. And you know this deal with Penguin is great, and through it I managed to now I have an agent, so one of the novels I'm writing I'm not just throwing words into the wind, she's actually going to, you know, like working with me on it and is going to try to do something with it.
Very cool.
So yeah, it's all, you know, I just keep on working and through luck and perseverance and the help of great people in the industry, it seems to be moving forward on its own, and keeping my fingers crossed it continues to.
Well,
what was the question?
So I don't remember, but you know, I have another question. It's like, so clearly you actually have a creative day job, so to speak, something that has actual like regular income. As you said, you work for Mad Magazine and things like that. So would you say that having a job like that affords you to be still be very creative outside of that and still invest the time and money in that? I mean, I'm not asking for figures here, but has Space Trawler really paid for itself for all the effort that you put into, would you say, over the past 4 years?
No. but also the question I don't really have a day job. My webcomics pay for maybe about half of my income. Actually, you know, this Kickstarter, it Space probably did probably, pull ahead, but you know, I'd make more money bagging groceries, certainly. But I'm still on food stamps and such. I'm still working to get by. But I can get by, and it's so I have the web comic, but Matt is just one of the freelancers, you know.
Oh, okay.
The magazine comes out 6 times a year. I'm in the majority of issues, but maybe that's 4 times a year, and you know, that's not, I mean, they pay really well, but you know, they're each one's like a half a page. It's not like I'm not making a living off of that.
I got you.
But, you know, like I told you about this, the newspaper serial story I'm doing, and I do get some money from that. I do educational children's books through a company in the Southwest. I designed wine bottles this year.
Really?
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever comes down the...
Can we ask what wine?
Oh, well, they're not on the market yet. They're based around... Seattle, they're called Silver Cat Farms, but you know, and it's not actually wine. It's mead and sizers. It's you know, fermented honey and fruit wine. So not technically wine.
Well, yeah, but I love the variety that you're involved with. Is this a lot of like you go getting, or do you actually have like resume somewhere, or is it like word of mouth, or hey, somebody knows a guy sort of like how are you getting into all these different things, if I may ask?
You know, it's a mix of things. You know, the wine, a lot of the work comes from my readership. you know, I have a, you know, probably 10,000 or so readers. And so they work for companies, they have their own companies. So sometimes they approach me. The educational children's book was, there was an editor there who was a reader of mine, and they were looking for more artists. And so she approached me. Mad Magazine, it was, they had started a new section in the magazine called, The Strip Club. And so they're looking for new zany cartoonists because all their cartoonists are like 90 years old and they need, you know, fresh blood. And so they asked around, and one of the people they asked was John Glynn, who works for Universal Syndicate. And he really liked my comic strip Little D, but he couldn't, you couldn't get Universal to pick it up. And so he, you know, he said, oh, Chris Baldwin, he's a talented guy and he seems to meet his deadlines. And so they approached me. And
that's very important. Meeting your deadlines, very important.
Oh, yeah, as a freelancer, yeah, getting the job done, like, you're already ahead of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you know, it's a job like any other. It's a real, you don't have a supervisor, so you have to really push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love it, you're not pushing, you know, I don't have to push myself because I'm, like, psychotically neurotic about it. I love doing it. So, you know, someone gives me a deadline, they're like, I need this huge thing by tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, I'll sleep the next day. You know, it's I just love it. So I get it done. I don't know.
I can picture you right now over an easel and be like, sleep is for the weak.
Yeah, yeah. A line of drool, you know, from my mouth to the, you know. Yep.
So you have this. So right now you have this. It's not really an epilogue. It's just like another story for Space Traveler going on right now. And this is part of the Kickstarter hey, we get enough money. You know what? We'll get to the other characters. And you introduced it really kind of. Yeah, I think sort of like you had like these one page shots of you introducing a new chapter or a new book or something like that. And this chapter you introduced you because you're drawing yourself, and then you make this sadistic joke about everyone have people from the old ones. Anyone that was actually still alive, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it that my humor can be a little morbid. You know, I mentioned before in the last podcast that Macbeth was a big influence of Space Crawler. Mm-hmm. And that's because I find Macbeth really funny.
What?
So, you know.
Like over the top in a funny way, or you just really, you know, enjoy sadistic? Or really, really, you know, horrible drama.
Well, you know, so if it didn't have the witches, it would just be this horrible drama. This guy, he's screwed, and he just, you know, things just go bad. He's had a bad week, and everything goes wrong. But it starts off with these three witches. They come out, and they're like, okay, you're screwed. Here's how. And then the rest of the play, there's nothing new. Basically, you get him, see him getting screwed exactly like they say. I mean, that's so wrong. That's so that it's funny, you know. I don't know. So you know, it's and I like, you know, I like injecting reality. There's this bit in Space Crawler where one of the characters, she's tortured, and they and there's all these jokes because she keeps on telling them, oh yeah, feeding me chocolate is torture, and so they, you know, they feed her chocolate, and yet, which is a pretty stale joke, people have done that before. But I really played that up until I had my readers laughing about her being tortured, and then I actually torture her and I do it as a punchline, and people were like, because you don't know if you're supposed to laugh or cry or whatever, or you go into therapy, and I love that. I love really, you know, and she ended up, she had PTSD, and she had to have, you know, behavioral cognitive therapy and EMDR, and, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you know, I when you infuse reality into humor, and you know, especially I think when it's dark, it can be a really, it's not just a funny result, but it's an interesting result, and the reader can tell that you're not, that you also are taking this very seriously, because you're mentioning this serious side, even though you're making fun of it, you're recognizing that it's there, which mm-hmm. most writers don't do. They're just like, oh, you know, torture, ha ha ha. You know, they don't. But stuff like that affects the rest of your life. You know, one of the things about Space Trawler that was important to me was that violence has, it has a, you have to pay for it. There's no, you know, there's, when bad things happen, it's not just in the moment. There's results. There's things in the future. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Again, what was the question?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense to me, and it's sort of like the juxtaposition of you know, like the extra comic that you're doing right now with Emily, with just how she handles, with, you know, as casually as she's handling her being beat up and things like that, and. Because I think what's incredibly great about it is the confidence that she has. Then again, you know, who knows what happened between the end of Space Stroller and what this happens today? You know, it's like, is this really how every day is for her? Oh, if she's being beat up again, she's being, you know, tortured or questioned harshly, and it's like, is she just so bored by this now? Is this so routine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that sort of like, wait a minute, but it's like, as what you say in this regular, because this story isn't done by the time we're talking about it, so I don't know what's mm-hmm. going to happen yet, but in Space Trawler, it's like, you have lasting events, you know, that sort of thing. It was like a funny little thing. It easily could have been like a throwaway joke, and then like the next page, oh, it's all sort of like back to normal ish with a hint of what happened, but it's sort of like, we don't speak about how it happened. You actually have like lasting repercussions, and that's really mm-hmm. you know, you don't see that so much, because a lot of people are just going for that joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's one of the things I find interesting. And it's, you know, I do make a joke in this new additional strip about Emily and Dimitri are talking about how, you know, she's getting beaten up by goons, and she's like, you know, when we were battling the galaxy in the last books, man, that, you know, now that was some stiff competition. This is like, you know, putting me to sleep. And, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, something that I did realize after I started this new story was that in the first three books of Space Trawler, the two characters who really were put through the ringers were Martina and Yuri. I mean, mm-hmm. they had serious bad things happen to them. And they became the most developed characters. They're characters who had to really grow in order to cope with their situations and what had happened to them. And so Martina died, which, you know, again, that's no secret. and then Yuri had to go into basically sort of retirement, because their arc was done. They really had this growth arc, their beginning and end. And so none of them can appear in this additional comic. And what's the other characters were more... were more comedy based, and most comical characters, you don't want to change them because their comedy is based on them not being able to change. You know, it's any sitcom or whatever, you know, if they reach a point where there's suddenly, you know, there's this, like if there's a romance conflict and suddenly the characters get together, it ruins everything. You don't want to change a comedic character. And so, you know, the other four humans were, you know, they're sort of essentially gag characters. Emily, you know, she's the action hero, but mm-hmm. she never really saw any deep repercussions. And same with Dimitri. He drinks, he's suave, he always steps in and saves a day. And there's and so,
well, Emily sort of evolved a little bit. I mean
oh just... yeah, they all grew some. But you know, but there's no deep
growth, really. Mm-hmm. Really? Was there?
Well, maybe not deep growth. Other than the wannabe pacifist a little bit, maybe a little bit more, but yeah. But I forget his name.
Where's Hero.
The... Hero was it?
Yeah, Piro.
A Piro. Oh, that's right, right, right.
A Piro.
Let's see here. So as you're doing this, and clearly you have an end for this as well, but so one thing I really wanted to ask about with Space Trawler is what was sort of like I want to know what your reaction was, you know, once you know that's it, that's the end of book three, that's it, and also what were your readers' reactions to being like, hey, this is done. What was the reactions?
Well, I received a lot of emails from people and comments, people saying this was just great. This was they really like the characters and the humor and the fact that there's a serious side, and a lot of people asked for sequels and giving them this short sequel, but I'm sure people will want more. But this is my third comic strip, and people still ask me, oh, are you going to ever do Bruno again? Are you ever going to do Little D again? And it's when you create something people like, you'll always get that. And the answer is probably no. But oh well. I always tell them maybe, because false hope allows people to have broken dreams.
Well, also, you never know. Like you said, you get this Little D project coming up now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always open to, say I come up with some really great idea that involves the cast of Space Trawler. Sure, I'll bring it back.
Are you a little sad to see it go, or are you happy that it ended and that you can look at other things, or...
As far as my reaction, Space Trawler was a lot of work, and so I'm feeling a lot of anticipative relief because it's not over yet. But the artwork is very complex and it takes a lot of time, and so I'm really looking forward to that easing up a little bit. I miss the characters. I'm not actually writing this strip anymore, because the additional story, I wrote the entire thing. I wrote all the punchlines. I even laid out the text for the entire thing. I wanted to make sure, because it was a certain time period. I didn't want to have it go on for a year because I was dickering around with it. I wanted a solid written piece.
You didn't want to have a whole another book four.
Yeah, exactly. Book three was supposed to be a year and ended up being, a year and three quarters. So I'm no longer writing it. So I'm not as engaged. I'm not thinking about the characters all the time. And I miss it somewhat, but for me, I just don't have the time to miss it too much. I have these two novels, and I it's juggling, which one I'm thinking about and thinking about the new strip I'm working on developing. I miss it and it's a joy, but I don't look back too much. I'm looking forward to it. In about a year, I'll sit down and I'll just read the whole series and say, God, I'm glad I did that. And that'll probably be, I do that every 10 years or so. one of the motivations for me for writing and drawing comics is because I have certain sensibilities of things that I like, which doesn't mean they're necessarily good or bad. They're just what I like. And there isn't a lot out there that I really love. And so part of creating comics is to, so that I have something to read. No, that sounds awful, but no, to put more out there of the sensibilities that I really, really love, because I know that I'm not alone in that. And so,
awesome.
Yeah.
So with that, you say you have a new project coming up for 2014, correct?
That is correct.
Would you like to plug any bit of it?
Plug.
The one you have no name for?
The one I have no name for, yes. Fabulous. Yeah, I haven't bought the billboard space yet on, you know, around New York City. But as soon as I have a title, I'll be on that. It's right now I'm calling it the one-way strip, but I don't think that's going to be the title. The premise is it's a journey, I've never watched the television show Friends. I've seen an episode or two, but the premise is sort of like that. It's a contained unit of people. It's a spaceship. There's going to be probably 6 or 7 people. I don't even have the number right, although I have the characters assigned. But and they're on this ship, and they're not communicating with other people. They don't interact with other people or aliens in space. It's just them on this ship, and it's going to be a comedy, a bit more of a gag strip than Space Trawler. There's a tiny bit of story, but more as something used to sort of frame the piece. Because like Space Trawler, I plan to end it after this one, probably after a year or two. There's a couple of important things that change the scene and the strip, but I don't want to really reveal them.
Is it like a proper, you know, 3-4 panel strip, or are you going to still be doing like a page thing, or?
It's going to be a page thing. And it's going to be a little bit smaller. You know, Space Trawler was generally 12 to like 15 panels, and this one will be probably more in the range of maybe 5 panels per page. And it's going to be entirely digital, which is new for me. That's quite interesting.
Have you been practicing?
A little bit. I bought a Yainova tablet, the new tablets that they came out, which is a knockoff of the Cintiq.
Yeah.
But it works great. I've already drawn some things with it, I really like working on paper. And but with Space Trawler, you know, I'd lay it out, and then I'd design these 3D models, and then I'd print it out, and then I'd draw a pencil and ink it and trace it, and then I'd scan in the inks, and then I'd do washes and scan the washes and then color it. And I love that, but I'm like, well, I'm just going to try to do all of digital and just collect some dust on my scanner for a while. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll have a different look. You know, if you follow my work, you know, Bruno had it was all black and white. It was cross-hatched. It was drawn with a single width pen. And then I did Little D, which was more like a Calvin and Hobbes kind of, you know, I drew it all with a brush with very variable line and used Zip-A-Tone and also black and white. And then Space Trawler, I did washes and colors and everything. Each project I do is a very, very different style. And that's, you know, that's part of I'm interested in growing and changing and trying new things. And so I'm curious, you know, this one has a bit more influence of anime and such. Not any, I wouldn't say it's manga or anime, but it has more influence of that. And I'm again building the backgrounds as 3D models. But this will, with Space Trawler, I did that, but every single scene where they were in a different place, I'd have to build a new model. They'd be running down a corridor that they'd never be in again, and I'd have to build a model just so they could run down the corridor in one panel. And you know, I cobbled them together really crappily, because I was drawing them, and I could fix everything as I drew it. But with this, I'm not going to redraw it. I'm going to just use the background and work on filters to make it look hand-drawn. But it all takes place on this one ship. So all I have to do is design this ship from top to bottom in great detail, and I will be done. Piece of cake, right?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. and I'm working with a good friend of mine,
Fred Heinz, who lives down in Albuquerque. And if anyone knows any jobs for a science teacher down there, he is currently between jobs. And he's not, he doesn't make meth that I'm aware of, if you're ready to make that joke. But he's a really smart guy. And he has a really strong science background. He's helping me make it. I want this strip to be a bit more hard science fiction, which for those unfamiliar, hard science fiction means it's a bit more based on the reality of, sort of science rather than like Star Wars was more based on, you know, sword and sorcery than on science.
Right.
And so he's, you know, he's building sort of the history of the spaceship drive that I'm using, and he's helping me build the, you know, what jobs the people will have, what tasks they'll have, what problems the ship will have and such. And
warp core breach.
Really exciting. What's her name?
Warp core breach.
Yeah, warp core breach, yes.
Okay. So
yes. That strip will be running at baldwinpage.com, which each strip I've done so far has had its own website. Mm-hmm. And I think it's beginning to dilute my brand.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to centralize, and I've had Baldwin Page forever. It has all these little side projects I've done. And so I'm going to start posting my projects there and see how that goes.
Yeah. That's something I've been seeing people do a little bit more, where they'll rebrand themselves and they'd be like say spacetrawler.baldwin.com. So it becomes a subset of the brand, but still, you know, of course you still have the URL that will redirect to the homepage, of course, but very important for establishing your brand, especially if you're into doing multiple products like Ryan Estrada, we've had on before, who just also doesn't stop doing stuff.
Yeah, and you don't have to reprint business cards every 2 years.
absolutely. All right. And so that brings us to the end of our episode here. And we'll get all those links in our show notes so people can check that out. And I'll try to remember to go back, and if you end up getting a different URL or a name of that comic, to edit the post to get that in there. So
Thank you.
Well, Christopher, thank you very much for coming back on again. I was really interested to see how your project played out, and I think we got that today. I think it's a something that people should try, to actually, you know, a formed story, limited time perspective. It can be a little bit more of a challenge for some people, too. So I encourage other people to test the waters in that.
Yeah, and I think unless you have a strip where you have, like, over 100,000 readers, like, don't do it more than a few years, because you're not going to learn anything. You're just going to repeat what you're doing. You learn by doing new things. And absolutely. And plus it's fun. And, you know, it's we're all in this for fun, right? Right? You're right, right? Maybe?
I think most of us are. Some of us are in it just for the mad cash that web comics make.
Yeah.
So what is your home site that you would like people to be redirected to?
Oh goodness. Until the end of the year, spacetrawler.com, and then after the end of the year, baldwinpage.com. But baldwinpage.com is a good central place, because I have links back to Space Trawler. And
there we go. Well, we'll get both of them in the show. So once again, Christopher Baldwin from baldwinpage.com and spacetrawler.com, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Fez, for having me.
Absolutely. And that is it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And we'll see you next time as we're gearing up for the semifinal episode of the Webcomic Beacon coming in December.
I'll make sure that baldwinpage.com actually has a link back to Space Trawler before then. I said it does.